It was the one where we said that the ODOT was going to form this new committee or whatever.
The reason that it was the,
we were supposed to go to the Dashwood Amendment.
Wait,
I don't care for it.
The first order of business, so we have five.
No.
One, two, three, four. It says that we are going to reconsider Senate Bill 1284, but as soon as we get five people, we will.
Okay.
I believe that that ODOT really didn't have enough time to study our amendments and respond to it, so I think we should come back to the committee and bring the bill back and work it with a little more time and discussion. So I'm going to, they want me to hold 1108 will Senator Dukes get passed. We have five hands. One, two, three. I'll go back then. Senator Hannon, Senate Bill 1284 went out of here in a little bit of haste, and ODOT didn't have enough time to respond. The amendments just came, and I'd like to bring that bill back to our committee.
Sure.
Instead of sending it to the floor. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1284. And what? Oh, we have to do all this, okay.
Madam Chair, I would move that the Senate Committee on Transportation reconsider its vote whereby Senate Bill 1284 to pass out as amended.
You want to suspend the rules?
Yep.
So that will take a vote of five?
You have to suspend the rules to do the motion.
To do the motion?
No.
You don't?
Just say there's an objection of not being so ordered and go under the... I'll make all your motions for you.
We have a little script.
You're calling my lead.
Okay, here we go. They are 20 years, right? 22. Oh, 25. Okay, sorry. All right. Senator Hannon has moved that we reconsider Senate Bill 1284. Is that what you said?
No, my word, 1284 was sent out of this committee as amended.
As amended. Is there any objection to reconsider it? That doesn't take a vote of five.
Madam Chair, I would now move that we reopen a possible hearing and work session on Senate Bill 284 so that we can consider testimony in opposition or in support of amendments to Senate Bill 1284 as amended.
That takes a vote.
Did you say is there objection?
Is there objection?
There you go.
There we go.
Now it's all before you.
Okay, and I'm going to set it aside to a future date. We'll close the hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1284. Okay, so there we go. I got through that. All right, now I'm going to open a work session on 1108 is Joan Dukes' bill, so we'll wait till she comes back. She's in another hearing. And so let's do Senate. I'm going to open up public hearing on Senate Bill 878. Do we have the list of people to testify?
Yes.
Did she sign up? Where's the list? Oh, here's Judy, Senator Hannon. Did we do it okay? Oh, okay. She gave us explicit instructions. Okay, would you talk?
Okay. Chair Shannon and members of the committee, Senate Bill 878 creates an offense of operating an off-screen vehicle on public lands from the lands of first. The operation of the vehicle violates posted restrictions, and the result of this offense would be a Class B traffic infraction, which is a $300 fine.
Okay, and who do you think would just say? The Grimm Streets. Will you come forward, please? Did I say your name correctly?
Yes,
Green Street. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. Mr. Green. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. For the record, my name is Robert Greenstreet. My address is P.O. Box 695, Corvallis, Oregon, 97339. Need telephone number?
No.
My wife and I have been involved in all-terrain vehicles, off-road vehicle, off-highway vehicle recreation for about 30 years in Oregon. And there's some things that come up as time goes along that were overlooked and need correction. Senate Bill 878, the users went to the Lane County Sheriff's Office on an omission, and they in turn went to Senator Carno to try to get this new bill put in. Basically, within the sand dunes over at the coast, there are areas that are open to riding, and then there are buffer zones that are closed. You can very easily, because this is all sand on both sides, it's through hills, trees, grass, up and down, you can easily cross that line. Currently, under the statutes, a county sheriff only has some sort of a criminal trespass citation that he can put on a person. I believe then it is, if you're found guilty, you're a felon. So it's a felony conviction. And this proposal is to make a Class D traffic infraction with a fine of up to $300. One of the people thought $300 sounded high, but probably 2% of our user group creates 98% of the problem, so I don't see anything wrong with the $300. And that is the first part on Senate Bill 878. On the amendment that we have proposed, a little history on it. It started off in Legislative Council as a separate bill back last October, and it got through the portion of getting a green card on it and slid from a desk to a cardboard box from the senator, which I know has never happened to any of you folks here, but it got lost. And so therefore, with the approval of Senator Carno, we are adding this to another one of the bills he has involving all-terrain vehicles. All-terrain vehicles basically are Class 1 all-terrain vehicles, are the little quads. Class 2 ATVs are dune buggies, jeeps, these type of vehicles, the full size. Class 3 ATVs are motorcycles, also known as dirt bikes. 3 years ago, Oregon Parks and Rec agreed to sponsor a cross-state route for the users of all-terrain vehicles. Parks and Rec has kind of been a non-motorized type state agency. There will be a bill that you folks will be hearing in about a week that will be transferring the ATV program to Parks and Rec from ODOT. One of the things that Parks and Rec wanted to do was to show the world that they, in fact, did understand motorized recreation.
Just Mr. Greenstreet, do you support that bill that's coming?
In most parts, yes. There are a couple that aren't there on a part of the bill that's not to do with the transfer, but some of the doing away with title and registration that... I understand that they're working on getting those holes plugged out, Kelly.
Because if there's amendments, because we'd like to move the bill, and if you have amendments. And I was just trying to save you another trip from down there on the coast. And,
my residence right now is Salem, Oregon, until the bills are all done.
Okay.
On the amendment that we're adding to this, basically, in working on this backcountry discovery route, my wife and I rode 4,500 miles in 5 months in 1997, coming up with proposed routes. The first route is 750 miles long. It crosses the 300-mile wide state of Oregon, utilizing very low-level, single-lane backcountry roads. It is a fantastic route. We're probably the only ones that have been over the whole route. And it should have been finished last summer. But because there are a few of the federal land managers, which control about half the state of Oregon, that are interpreting Oregon statutes different than everyone else, we have come forward with this amendment as a housekeeping clarification type bill so that this program can, you know, be completed this summer. Basically, is what we're looking at on the amendments
in ORS 821010, which describes a lot of the non-street legal equipment that requirement that is not met by the dirt bikes and ATVs. We're changing the word on line 9 from designated to described. In 821020 under section 4, in line 10 through 17, we are deleting a description that was in the old law that described the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area over the coast and Sand Lake. The reason for taking that out is some of these land managers believe that all of the laws in Chapter 821 that we've passed and you folks have passed in the last several years only apply to coast. The mandatory helmet law for the kids, the safety training, everything only applies to the coast and nowhere else because of this description. So we're recommending that that description be deleted so that those particular land managers can interpret it like everyone else. And on section 19, it says that is not posted as closed to off-road use. The reason for this, when we first started talking about this a year ago, right away there were some preservation groups that come forward and said that we were trying to open up all the wilderness areas, all the wildlife areas, wetlands, everything, to use that's not now open. This does not open one single thing that is not now open in the state of Oregon to all-terrain vehicles. That was not our intention. And if it's wilderness area, they don't have roads anyhow. And going on down into section 2 of 1821020, line 24 and line 29, there is a term, roads other than hard surface or any local hard surface. When that statute was put in, was to distinguish a gravel road from a paved road. And at the time we'd done this, we were talking about the high-speed two-lane gravel road or a high-speed paved road. Some of the roads in the Oregon, especially the ones in the Cascades, Northeast Oregon, all of these little slow fire roads have rock base. Some of the federal land managers says hard surface means any rock whatsoever on the road. A lot of these roads are 3-4 miles an hour speed. You may not see one full-size vehicle on them either. They are just basically backcountry fire roads. This change in the hard surface, changing that to two-lane gravel would clarify the confusion that some land managers are having. Line 26, it talks about paved parking lots, whether hard surfaced or not. This was paved or gravel parking lots. Deleting whether hard surface or not, but adding in adjacent to on designated off-road vehicle areas, trails, and routes. This is so no one will think we're trying to open up Kmart parking lots, Walmart parking lots, or any other. It's just the ones within the designated areas, such as the Oregon Dunes. The last item that has caused some confusion, ORS 821190 is a statute that totally prohibits any ATV use or snowmobile use on a paved road, on the shoulders of a paved road, in the bar pit of a paved road, on the cut banks or fill slopes of a paved road. Statute 821200, which is the one on this amendment, establishes exemptions to the limitations from that 821 law, 821190 law. Some land managers are saying that the vehicles that qualify for those exemptions have to be street legal to qualify for the exemptions to being street legal on a street legal road. It confuses everybody but these land managers, and that's what they're saying. I talked to the Assistant Attorney General, and he was confused. And he suggested that we insert the term that qualify under line 5 and 6 that qualifies for the exemption from equipment requirements under OS 821010. So then that clarifies the fact that these vehicles, the snowmobile, Class 1, Class 3 ATVs that they're talking about are the same ones that qualify as not being street legal to operate on these low-level roads and areas. One of my questions was,
I have a question for you. Say we're up around Lake of the Woods in Jackson County, and you have snowmobile crossings, and it's clearly marked. Just to use the shoulder of the road to the shoulder of the road has to be state legal.
Madam Chair, there, man. According to what some land managers are interpreting, yes, you do.
And this is the purpose for clarifying.
That's the purpose for clarifying.
Drive that distance without having to stop and put all these exhausts and CEQ mufflers and everything on my snowmobile.
The problem you're going to have more than that is finding ODOT approved tires to put on your snowmobile.
Yeah, well, that's kind of tough too.
Because that is a requirement.
Yeah. But that's the reason for the clarification.
Very
okay.
So you understand it?
Yeah, it affects people in my district very much.
Okay, good.
Madam Chair and Senator Hammond, part of this discovery route that is being proposed enters from California has been working on this program 15 years, and they have routes entering the Oregon border. Rather than dumping them out, we're picking them up and taking one to Washington. Then we're dumping them out of Washington, but they're working on it up there also, too. So we'll clear through. One enters near, well, it'd be east of Ashland, up towards, past the recommended wilderness area. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Pacific Crest Trail.
It actually, it enters on the east side of that. It actually crosses that close to Hyatt Lake, and it crosses through that whole area up through Prospect, Diamond Lake, and that way. So there is one route that will be in that area.
Yeah.
And in some cases,
in Central Oregon,
The route over there is like Route 3. The one in Central Oregon we're going to finish this year is Route 5.
Okay.
So there'll be a Route 7 and a Route 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good bill, good pass.
Yeah.
Any opposition?
Well, I was going to ask just to raise our comfort level. Is it Kelly Taylor? Are you from DMV? Would you like to come up? Can you look this bill over? Okay.
Madam Chair, Members of the Committee on Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. And I've been looking over the dash ones and listening to Mr. Greenstreet's explanation, and of course, I haven't had time to run out and call anybody, but it appears to me that there isn't an issue for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. So, but like I said, I haven't had a chance to call anybody. I've just been reading it, but I don't see anything here.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone here have a question of either of them?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, where would the $300 fine go to? Does that go into highway funds or... Where does it go?
Madam Chair, it would not go to highway funds. It would be distributed just like any other conviction would be between the different unitary assessments and all that. It doesn't come to the highway fund, I can tell you that. It would go, you'd be in a court, it wouldn't matter whether you're paying a speeding ticket or any other kind of ticket. It's the same kind of distribution.
Oh, you mean go to, follow-up question,
mm-hmm.
Go to driver's training, uninsured motor vehicle, uninsured drivers, and college.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, this doesn't come to DMV in any shape or form. This is a ticket that the court would collect the fine and distribute like they would any other court fine from any other kind of ticket.
A judge.
The judge would be collecting it. This isn't anything we'd be handling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You'd be going through the court system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the intent of the original bill is just to make the penalty stick the violation better, because it before it would some of the violation is classified as a felony, and now we're lessening what that penalty classification would be for the violation.
As I understand from what the sheriff department was telling us, is if you were convicted of it was a felony, and you would be a convicted felon and have all the stigma that would carry with you from being on the wrong side of the crime.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Then we're going to close the public hearing. Open a work session on Senate Bill 878.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
I would move the Senate Bill 878-1 amendments identified dated 4/12/99 to Senate Bill 878.
Is there any objection? Discussion? So moved.
I'd like to respond to the Senator's mm-hmm. question about where the fines go to. It goes in the general fund. and then it's reallocated back out to the courts, but the courts collect it, and then the general fund is reallocated back to the court system. That's what pays for the court system. There's also a unitary tax assessment on fines. Part of that goes to the police academy, part of it goes to different programs.
Yeah, they have a formula.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what all the money goes for, and I wanted to respond to you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Madam Chair, are we ready?
Yes, we're ready.
I would move Senate Bill 878 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Is there, is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, this amendment is not prepared by a legislative council.
I know, but there is one that is.
Okay. There is one underneath that I identified.
Oh, okay. Because
it's in your stuff.
You know, it needs to go.
Legislative council draft 3676.
Okay, and that
is then as the right form inside.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Okay, clerk, we'll call the roll.
Senator Hatfield?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Hannah?
Aye.
Senator Gage?
Aye.
Chair Cannon?
Aye. Having received a majority, unanimous, it will go to the floor with the due pass. Would you like to carry it, Senator Yee?
Well, Senator Hannon's bill, isn't it?
Oh, it's Hannon's. Oh, Senator Hannon, will you carry that?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes.
Here we go. I didn't notice that. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's definitely for moving it out.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Of course, the work session on Senate Bill 878. And we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1118. So we have the list. Marcia, do you want to come from Lada? Is she here? Oh, yeah. She'll introduce the bill. Megan, go ahead.
Senate Bill 1118 increases the fee for the student driving training plan by $1, and it requires Oregon Department of Transportation to establish a curriculum for a course in traffic safety education and adopt minimum standards for traffic safety course. Requires before receiving a driver's license, and requires the department to establish qualifications for those who are going to teach the course.
Okay, now we can go. Actually, what do you think? Is Mike Sherlock here first on the list? Let's do that. OTSEA, you want to come? What do you think? And Catherine, why don't you come up with him? Please. Is she here? Yeah, there you go. Okay. Go ahead.
Her bill, why don't we let her go first?
That'll work.
Follow up, will that work?
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Catherine Dyson. I'm the Director of Communications for the Salem-Keizer School District, and this bill was introduced at our request. Senate Bill 1118 would have the effect of raising the fee that is charged for driver's license applications and renewals, from raising it from $2 to $3. These funds go into the Student Driver Training Fund, which is then used to partially reimburse school districts for the cost of driver's instruction as provided by school districts and other approved institutions. Currently, driver's education courses cost about $300 per pupil to provide. The state reimbursement is allowable for up to $150, and most districts charge tuition to cover the remainder of those costs. Ours is one of those that does. About 70% of the districts who provide this function do charge student tuition. Because the amount of funds that are available in the Student Driver Training Fund are prorated to qualifying districts based upon the number of students who choose to access those funds, rarely, if ever, do districts get the full $150 that is provided in the statute. In fact, in the last 7 years, the rate of reimbursement has varied from $139.60 to $84.99. This reimbursement comes in the year following the school year in which the courses were offered. And so school districts, in estimating their tuition rates, figure out what it's going to cost them to have the school to provide the program, make a guess about what the level of reimbursement is going to be, and then set their tuition based on the difference to cover their costs. Because of the variability in the reimbursement funds, that has caused our tuition rates to be enormously erratic and incomprehensible to most of our patrons. They don't understand why it costs $160 one semester or $190 the next semester, and so there's enormous variability. We are, of course, prevented from making a profit on any of our school drivers' training funds, so we can't increase the tuition enough to always cover our expenses and to know that we have the seed money, if you will, in an account that can make up for the difference. This bill, as we requested it, would increase the rate on driver's licenses from $2 to $3, and the Department of Education assures us that that would be enough money to pay for the full $150 reimbursement to students as they currently are anticipated within the next few years in the state of Oregon. There was a drafting change or miscommunication on the draft, and the second part of the bill as drafted that shows additional language related to a curriculum endorsed by the Department of Transportation is not our language, and we do have an amendment to delete that if you choose to do that.
What's not? Okay. Pages 2.
Pages 3 are not ours.
Whose language is this?
We don't know.
Would you like it removed?
We live in Medicare, and I believe we have provided you with a copy of an amendment to delete those.
Do you think, Kelly, you want to, oh, you know.
Mike likes them, so before you take the hex, I want to be honest, but he likes them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's me.
Maddie.
Okay, my name is Mike Sherlock, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Traffic Safety Education Association. That's made up of basically high school driving instructors. Some are private instructors, and some are employed by the school district. We're strongly in support of Senate Bill 1118, and we have several reasons. First of all, I'd just like to point out to you that to some of you that this may look very similar to legislation that was approved by you all in the last session. We had requested this increase and also, and I think this may be where this language came from, also this language on curriculum as an amendment to the various big transportation packages that made it all the way through to the very last minute last time. If the transportation packages had passed, both of these portions of the law would be in place now, and I think that may be where the confusion came from. Legislative Council, they just brought up what we had proposed the time before. So it's very similar to what would have gone through last time. We asked that you give it very much consideration this time. Driver's education can save kids' lives. You will hear occasionally somebody will cite some study that shows that driver's education either doesn't help or it's inconclusive as to whether it helps. It's our belief that those studies do not really show how effective driver's education is, but what it shows is that there are some curriculums that are better than others. Some programs in some schools work very well, and some programs don't work so well. That's why we support having the standardized curriculum developed by the Department of Transportation. We feel that with a good, solid curriculum that's taught statewide, that we will be able to save kids' lives. An example is that I think Catherine referred to as the Wacott-Sweego study that was just done this spring clearly shows that in just a short amount of time that they did this study, that kids who had driver's education in Lake Oswego had a far fewer incidence of traffic tickets after they had their driver's ed, both compared to their peers in Lake Oswego School District and especially compared to their peers of the students in the state of Oregon. An additional factor is the state of Washington has passed a really nice integrated package that has a standardized curriculum, and then also something that you'll be hearing about is a graduated driver's license program, which just passed out of the House Transportation Committee this morning, House Bill 2440, which is a graduated driver's license program, which has incentives for kids to take driver's ed in it. It's modeled after a program that is effective in both California and one in Washington. The state of Washington shows that since they've put their integrated program in place, they've just had huge reduction in fatalities and accidents in their state. So my point is that we believe that an integrated curriculum can really make a difference rather than having each school district come. Had requested this increase, and also, and I think this may be where this language came from, also this language on curriculum as an amendment to the various big transportation packages that made it all the way through to the very last minute last time. If the transportation packages had passed, both of these portions of the law would be in place now, and I think that may be where the confusion came from. Legislative Council, they just brought up what we had proposed the time before. So it's very similar to what would have gone through last time. We asked that you give it very much consideration this time. Driver's education can save kids' lives. You will hear occasionally somebody will cite some study that shows that driver's education either doesn't help or it's inconclusive as to whether it helps. It's our belief that those studies do not really show how effective driver's education is, but what it shows is that there are some curriculum that are better than others. Some programs in some schools work very well, and some programs don't work so well. That's why we support having the standardized curriculum developed by the Department of Transportation. We feel that with a good, solid curriculum that's taught statewide, that we will be able to save kids' lives. An example is that I think Catherine referred to as the Raycox-Wego study that was just done this spring clearly shows that in just a short amount of time that they did this study, that kids who had driver's education in Lake Oswego had a far fewer incidence of traffic tickets after they had their driver's ed, both compared to their peers in Lake Oswego School District and especially compared to their peers of the students in the state of Oregon. An additional factor is the state of Washington has passed a really nice integrated package that has a standardized curriculum, and then also something that you'll be hearing about is a graduated driver's license program, which just passed out of the House Transportation Committee this morning, House Bill 2440, which is a graduated driver's license program, which has incentives for kids to take driver's ed in it. It's modeled after a program that is effective in both California and one in Washington. The state of Washington shows that since they've put their integrated program in place, they've just had huge reduction in fatalities and accidents in their state. So my point is that we believe that an integrated curriculum can really make a difference rather than having each school district coming up with their own version, some which will work and some that don't. That's basically what I've got to say. You know, we are the high school driving instructors. We're the people that are out there every day working with the kids. And we feel that if we had an increase in the funding where there could be more programs around the state that we could save kids' lives, and with an integrated or with a standardized curriculum that we could save kids' lives.
Are you with the Department of Transportation?
No, no, no. I'm a lobbyist. I support the Oregon Traffic Safety Education Association.
So are you going to get any of this money?
Me?
No, your department to
No, we're not a state agency. We are an association of high school driving instructors. And there would be no money, no additional money would go to my people. There might be more people who would be certified to teach driver's education if more money was available. But there's no monetary interest for my people at all, other than they might receive more money for their driver's ed programs that are already in place, I suppose.
Hey, Chair.
Yes.
Your members, This is an educational issue, and it's connected with the school district chooses to do it. Is that a correct accurate?
That's correct.
Assumption. Okay. So if some school district decides to go into it, you're suggesting that Department of Transportation be mandated to develop the curriculum?
That's correct.
And the Salem School District, Salem Patrick School District, is prepared to let a different state agency other than education correct what your curriculum is?
Madam Chair, Senator Hamm, that's only one of our concerns about the curriculum. One is issue of the Department of Transportation rather than the Department of Education drafting curriculum. The other is, without knowing what is being proposed for that curriculum, we don't know how it would affect our costs. If, for example, a mandated curriculum doubles the required amount of behind-the-wheel time, it could cause driver's education to go from being a program that costs us about $300 per pupil to one that costs twice or three times that because of the expense. We're fearful that a mandated curriculum would in fact make it too expensive for districts to offer the program even as it currently exists. We don't know that because we haven't seen a draft of the curriculum, but those are our two concerns about the sections 2 and 3.
But your problem arises in section 2 and 3 of the bill, where Department of Transportation would be mandating the curriculum.
Madam Chair, Senator Hannon, that's correct.
Okay. And the next question is for your association. Under the provisions of 878, are the school districts reimbursed based upon billing submitted from that individual school district to ODOT?
It's based on the billing given to Department of Education, I believe.
What if a school district, midway through a school district year, had a budget crisis and had to cut back on something, driver's education for the first thing to go? Would they be cut out for the entire year as opposed to half of the year if they didn't have the funds?
I can't really answer that. I think you'd need to talk to the school administrators on that.
Well, I need to tell a school district, go ahead and trust us, and then not follow through with the money. And I want to make sure it's clearly there so everybody knows.
Mr. Shannon from OSCA is sending signals that he'd like to answer his question.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, committee members, Al Shannon with the Oregon School Boards Association. The Department of Education has adopted administrative rules dealing with the reimbursement, and the student has to complete the course before they can submit the name on the application. If a student does not complete the course, then their name doesn't go forward, and the money's prorated out to the other school districts.
Would the Oregon School Board Association have difficulty with Section 2 and 3?
Chair Shannon, Senator Hannon, I haven't looked at that, so I can't answer the question.
We'll look at it. while he's looking, I have a question of you. And that is, I've seen the records, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, the results, where they brought drivers in and the accidents increased. And same with drug education and drug, problem increase. Were you trying to tell us, or maybe you did, if Lake Oswego's, the accidents went down because it's a different program that they're teaching at Salem-Keizer? Because I have a strong belief that we need a record of success. And if you're proposing something where the record shows kids taught this way have fewer accidents, then of course that's what we'd want to invest in. Do you have records that show that others' driver's ed doesn't produce such a record of success?
Yes, we do. I did not bring them along with me, but we can provide that for you. The records, the statistics that I'm aware of for the Lake Oswego study specifically addressed citations that were issued to kids, and they had a significantly lower citation rate than kids that also came from the Lake Oswego School District but didn't get driver's ed. And both of those groups had a much smaller rate of citations than kids statewide. And then once again, the state of Washington has shown a significant drop in the fatality rate for teenage drivers. And unfortunately, I don't have those statistics with me, but I can certainly provide them for you.
Well, since it was brought up, does the Lake Oswego have more drive time than average driver's ed classes?
I'm afraid I can't answer that for you either, but okay. We can get that for you.
And sure.
Yes.
Can I ask one more question?
Oh, yeah, any question you want.
Some school districts have cut back on driver's education because there's more students participating, and it's now been kind of semi-divorced in the school, so that you actually take the curriculum and the driving after school hours and on weekends. What would be the net effect of this on that?
I think that there's a mix of different kinds of programs there. Some of the school districts have the classroom portion is a regular class. Virtually all of the school districts have the driving time to be after school, and many times in the summer is when they actually do the driving part of it.
And this would not impact those who are in the private. Let me ask you this question. Are there people involved in private driver's education that could be impacted by this bill?
There are people who are involved in the private portion of it. They strongly support this because they think that this is going to have more money available to them, like Catherine's school district contracts, I believe, for the on-the-road part portion of it.
Senator Hannan, we do contract with Oregon Driver Training Institute, which is a private company, for the provision of this service that's offered to our students through our school district. They are required by state law to use certificated teachers and to follow those portions of the curriculum as currently defined in a Department of Education administrative rule, which includes how much drive time, etc., is involved. If I understand the statutes, if a private company such as ODTI contracts through a school district or a community college, then they are eligible through the school district or community college for this available reimbursement. If they were to run an advertisement in the newspaper as a private company and also offer driving training that was not through our school district or a community college, they would not be able to access this reimbursement for those courses.
Mr. Shannon, are you ready?
Yeah, Chair Shannon, Senator Hannan, my memory is recollected on this amendment, and this the Department of Education has adopted administrative rules in Division 581 that adequately prescribe the curriculum for driver's training. This Section 2 and Section 3 was an amendment to move the responsibility from driver's ed from the department to the Department of Transportation.
And I would have serious heartburn over that.
Chair Shannon, Senator Hannan, there's nothing in the rules that I know of from the Department of Education that would require amendment to those rules that would require this. So short answer to your question, I think there's no problem with removing this in this Section 2 and Section 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have anything else you'd like to say about this bill?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
I guess I have a statement and then a question. I have two kids that took driver's ed through the school, and I would tell the kid, Senator Flanagan, we're going to find something to agree with on this committee one of these days.
Well, we got 6 months more.
My kids were taught to the driving course that they would be tested on. And that's what they got out of the Department of Ed system. And I was really disappointed. They got the book stuck in the classroom, and they got the driving part, and I had to reteach them how to drive. But they were taught. They were taken around several times on what would be the drive test course. They were taught exactly how to park and where to park, in the parallel parking and all of that. Is it parallel, whatever the parking is,
mm-hmm.
and where to slow down. And they were coached all the way through it. To me, that's not a driver's ed class. I have always believed in driver's ed classes. I think the more education we give these kids before you turn them loose driving, the better. But this is in consultation with the Transportation Safety Committee. Who better to know what it is we ought to have in a curriculum to teach kids how to drive than them? ODOT does motorcycle safety training and some programs with snowmobiles and off-road vehicles and things, and is in the business of driver's licenses and such, and does remedial work for people who have too many traffic tickets. I think it's a far better place, and I don't know how many other kids are getting taught to the drive test, but to me that was a real failure. I mean, it helped me on my insurance rates, but and they passed their test, but I thought there was a whole lot more needed in the way of driver's ed than that. So I think this is a great deal. But I have one question here. It says no pupil may participate in on-street driving unless the pupil is enrolled in or has completed a course in classroom instruction. Does that mean through the school district? I mean, do they? What about homeschoolers? What about?
My interpretation of that is that for kids who are involved in the driver's ed programs as prescribed here, all of what they're trying to say is that the kids can't do the driving portion until they've completed the classroom portion. So as long as the program they were being taught to met the criteria, it's just spelling out that criteria has to include that they have to do classroom before they drive.
So this has nothing to do with the actual license, getting a license. Okay,
that's
correct. Almost wish it did.
Okay, Senator Hannon.
The reason, and I'll respectfully regard my good friend from Spinson with a lot of regard, but the reason Section 2 and Section 3 concerns me so much is you're creating a situation where ODOT and its Transportation Safety Committee could in essence adopt some rules that would substantially impact the school district. And we'd be right back to where we are, that there's not enough funds being raised to generate to pay for the driver's education in the public school system. Is that a fair assumption, Mrs. Geiser?
Madam Chair, Senator Hammond, we don't know what they might prescribe. As it is, the school district must fund the money, if you will, through its general fund and the tuition that's paid by
the school. And then get reimbursed.
And then get reimbursed. And you don't know what the reimbursement's going to be because there's not enough money in the fund to deliver the full $150.
Correct.
So if a lot of students have signed up that year, you may only get $80, in which case your general fund is impacted because you've already funded the money. You've already paid the instructors and arranged for the students to take the class.
And that's my concern because I believe by, and I certainly have no problem with the Department of Education in consultation with the Transportation Safety Committee. Would not have any difficulty in that. But to have an outside agency, a state agency, regulate what my school district does in my city really creates a steep obstacle for me to cross over. That's where I'm coming from.
Can we fix it?
No.
Well, and I just want to say, I know this was said once, but I just want to make it really clear. The school district is only reimbursed for the kids that complete. They pay for 15 kids, and if only 9 complete, that's all they're reimbursed. So we're wanting, the purpose of this whole bill is to help you get as much reimbursement as possible, right? Yes, Senator Castillo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so, Catherine, I'm wondering, so then where does the driver education program that the districts use now come from? Is it in consultation with the Department of Transportation, or is it something that's the district come up with on their own, or how does that?
Madam Chair, Senator Castillo, the Department of Education has administrative rules that specify what must be included in a driver's education course, including a certain limit of amount of drive time and certain safety coursework. It doesn't. It's not a textbook or a curriculum per se, but it specifies which elements must be included in order to qualify for this reimbursement. My belief is that the Department of Education, as most school districts do, would agree to a certain extent with Senator Dukes, and that more would be better. It is a matter of economics for us. Just as we know more reading instruction would be better, or more music would be better, more driver's training, a more extensive curriculum would be better. But as it is now, students' parents pay between $150 and $200 for the price of this course, and if we were to make it vastly more expensive, unless the state could fund a larger portion of that, it will simply price many children out of the market. An increase from $2 to $3 in the fund would provide enough money in the transportation safety fund to pay districts right now the full $150 as prescribed in the current statute. You could, of course, increase it by $10 and say that districts are qualified to get as much as $500 or $600 reimbursement and increase the level of the course. But within the current constraints of the funding, this is bumping up against what we believe is the elasticity of the market. There's not enough insurance savings. There's not enough pull to make it an affordable option for many families as it is. I mean, there are some of us who would pay any amount of money not to have to teach our own children to drive just because of what it would do to us. But that's not the case for all families.
Senator Castillo, do you have more questions about the Department of Ed program? Because Mr. Shannon is pretty fluent in it.
Oh, actually, yeah. I mean, is it? I do, actually. Thank you.
She used to work at the Department of Ed before until she went to OSBA.
Oh, okay. I guess just my other question is that then, I guess the goal for everybody who's here talking about this is that we just make sure that we provide a good program that's going to help kids be safe when they start driving. And so within the Department of Education, then, is there an effort, do they, research on what programs net the best safety results for kids? And, you know, is that like an ongoing evaluation that the department does? I know within ODOT safety program that it's something that, they're looking at a lot with driver education safety. I'm just wondering if that same level of activity happens within the Department of Education on this issue or not.
Chair Shannon, Senator Castillo, it's been 2 years since I've actually worked over there, so it's difficult for me to know what's going on right now. But I know when I was there, there was a lot. There was interaction between the Department of Education and the Department of Transportation. The department did standardization visits on the programs. In other words, they went out to the field to see what was going on, making sure the programs were administering them according to the adopted rules. So there was interaction, but it's difficult for me to know what's going on right now.
Okay. Senator Kinsey, I want to interject. Do they have a person that monitors the Teachers Ed program anymore?
Senator Shannon, it's my understanding, yes, they do. I'm not sure if that person is full-time in driver's ed, but I know they have an individual that processes the request for payment and helps the school districts.
Madam Chair, if I could address that. One of the reasons, we're the ones that originally proposed moving the administration of driver's ed from the Department of Education to Department of Transportation. The reason for that is we felt under the previous administration at the Department of Education that the back was slowly being turned to driver's ed. The person who was the person who did the functions that he's talking about has been reduced to a half-time FTE. She is only allowed to audit to make sure that the books are correct when a school district request reimbursement, she audits those books. That's all she does. It used to be that that person, there were two full-time people, a person who was very fluent, an ex-driving instructor named Del Freeman, who was the administrator of the program, and he had an assistant named Sue Real. When he left the department, they reduced Sue's time to half time to be spent on driver's ed, so she cannot do the functions that we grew used to the department doing. The Department of Transportation has shown that they're quite interested in doing what Senator Castillo was talking about, of really monitoring and measuring to be sure that we really do have a top-quality program, not just running the dollars through to the school district. Now, with the new administration in the Department of Education, we can't really be sure how it's going to be treated. But my people felt that they would get a better administered program at the Department of Transportation than they did at the Department of Education.
Well, I said one thing.
Okay.
And I get the feeling that the school boards and the members actually out in the field and the people, you know, running the schools, they will accept a basic program that teaches the kids how to parallel park and drive and just the basics, because once we go up to a more Cadillac one, the practice and paying them to practice, and, you know, that maybe parents should be involved in if they know the basics. Maybe, you know, the school just didn't want to fund the more expensive one. I get that feeling that you're not promoting the top class, most experienced, are you?
Madam Chair, in Salem-Keizer, our program is fully self-supporting through the reimbursement and the tuition of the students, with the exception of when we are required to make special accommodations for a special education child. We frequently have to pay for sign language interpreters or provide other adaptive considerations for a child who enrolls in our program who has special education needs. Other than that, it is the student tuition and the reimbursement that pays the cost of this program. We fund the money with the general fund, but at least in theory it will be returned through the reimbursement. We believe, and our school district would not be interested in spending additional general fund
dollars for this.
Because we have so many other instructional needs for children that we must see to first. We do not believe that there is the market elasticity in terms of tuition rate to increase the cost to families. We think that most students simply would not be able to afford a more expensive program.
Okay. Yes, Senator Hammond.
Madam Chair, I wonder if it might be possible to have somebody from legislative council come in on this. The reason is you have a relating clause of Senate Bill 1118 that says relating to student driver training, creating new provisions and amending 807-370. You turn over on page 2 of the bill, section 2 amends ORS chapter 802, which isn't even listed on your relating clause.
One more reason.
Do you have anything to say about that?
You can't amend something unless it's stated in the relating clause, so it looks to me like the section 2 and section 2 are having to come out and make you amend the relating
clause. Okay, I want to work the other bill too, so are there any, I need to get through this. Senator Jukes, did you have anything else to say?
Yeah, this is like the bills I did. They all came out at the last minute in a big hurry.
Oh, Senator.
Yes. My question is for Catherine Geiser. How do you know what tuition to charge if the reimbursement happens at the end of the year?
Madam Chair, Senator Yu, we guess. We know what we have received in the previous year, in the previous semesters, and so we have some trend lines. And we talked to the Department of Ed and asked them what it feels like, particularly at winter semester, how many kids signed up in the fall, what it looked like that reimbursement is going to be. And then we just simply guess. And sometimes we guess wrong and go in the hole. And if we guess if we guess wrong in the other direction and end up receiving more money than we needed to break even, then we must reduce the tuition the following semester so that we get ourselves back in balance. We are allowed to go in, we are allowed to overextend our general fund to cost this, but we are not allowed to overcharge tuition to make a profit. So we just frankly guess. 1 year, 2 years ago, we ran an entire program, and there was a new person in the Department of Ed who reinterpreted the existing statute, and we got no reimbursement for an entire year and had to absorb that cost from our general fund. So we've straightened that out, but
it's okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you have a question?
All right.
Well, I want to know, see, on page 2, line 15, the $2 is amended to say $3. But on page 1, line 13, the license fee remain at 20. So somebody else has to give, because the $20 is given to 3 accounts. Kelly, I guess.
Well, first, let's call her up here in a minute.
Yes.
She's coming anyway.
So if the license fee is not increased, and this money goes to, I think, 3 accounts, so somebody else has to receive a decrease amount. Is this correct?
Madam Chair, Member Kelly, State Department of Transportation.